Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you are a visitor this morning, our senior pastor Mark's not here this morning. He went to district conference. No, that's not district conference. It's the big conference. It's the big one. So I'm going to be bringing the word this morning. My message this morning is mountain-moving faith in a mountain-moving God. Hallelujah. Who believes that God is almighty, amen, all-knowing, all-powerful, amen, nothing is impossible with our God, amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Our text is going to be Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20, if you have your Bible and you want to read along. As you're getting the scripture ready, who's watching a hockey game? Who's enjoying the Stanley Cup playoffs? That's really fun, isn't it? Who thinks they have a bad job? Who thinks their job's bad? I heard it said that the worst job to have is a hockey goalie. You make one mistake, a light lights up, a siren blares, and 10,000 fans are yelling at you. And unfortunately, Murray made how many last night? Five? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord God, that you would anoint the word going forth, Lord God. Give me the words to speak, Lord God. Speak through me, Lord God. And I just pray that you would touch each heart here, Lord God, with what you would have them to hear, Lord God. Holy Spirit, fill this place, Lord God. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, Oh, unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it shall move. Nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Lord, speak to us through your word this morning, God, and help us to understand what you would have us to learn through these few short verses. In Jesus' name, amen. How much faith does it take to move a mountain? How much faith does it take to move a mountain? And is Jesus referring in this text to a natural mountain? In the natural, geologists tell us that mountain ranges are formed by a massive upheaval, chaotic motion that forces the ground up in a drastic force, creating these mountain ranges that we see in our life, all around us in our world. I personally believe that the mountains that we see all over the world were created and caused through the worldwide flood of Noah's time. Some may agree with me on that, but that's truly what I believe. Upheaval and chaos created the mountains we see before us, and so it is in the Christian life. Chaos and upheaval create mountains. In our text, Jesus is speaking metaphorically. He was not talking about a physical mountain that we see, a mountain range. In Jesus' time, the phrase of using mountain moving or speaking of a mountain before them was actually speaking of an impossible task set before them or something that they can't even imagine getting past. It was a phrase commonly used in that time that Jesus was using that phrase. In the text, Jesus cast out a demon from a boy, which this boy was being tormented by a demon. Now the question here is, why couldn't the disciples cast it out? The disciples came to Jesus and said, they saw Jesus cast this demon out. And then afterwards they asked him, Lord, why couldn't we cast that demon out? And what I found interesting while studying this text, just a few short chapters earlier, in chapter 10, you can read it later, Jesus had just sent the disciples out with power. He said, I send you out with power to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to cast out demons. He had just given them the power as his disciples to perform these many miracles. But just a few short chapters later, we read that the disciples couldn't do it. This man brought his son to the disciples for them to heal him, and they couldn't do it. What happened between chapter 10 and chapter 17? And my question to you is, when we come to church and we get filled with the Holy Spirit and we get excited after praising and worshiping and hearing the Word, what happens on Tuesday? What happens on Wednesday? What happens on Thursday? Do we start getting beat down by the world? That excitement and enthusiasm we left here on Sunday morning with, we go to work, we're surrounded by negative people, maybe we're persecuted for our faith. I think that's what happened to the disciples. I think they were excited to follow this Jesus, this Christ. Peter even said, when he asked, who do people say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. They were pumped up, excited to follow this man with all this power. They thought they were following a military leader. They thought they were following a Christ that was going to set up his kingdom here on earth and restore Israel. So when Jesus sent them out with power to perform these miracles to glorify the Lord, I believe that they started getting worn down. I believe their faith started shrinking. Because unlike in our time here in America where it's comfortable, we're allowed to believe, they were being threatened for their life. They were being threatened to be thrown in jail. They were being threatened with torture for speaking the truth of the gospel in the name of Jesus and performing these miracles outside of the blessing of the Jewish leadership. So by the time this man brought this demon-possessed boy to the disciples, I believe they were actually doubting who they were following. And isn't that true in our life? I want us this morning to understand and to realize that we are following the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the first and the last, Almighty God. There is no need in our walk with the Lord to shrink back and cower when we see the world and the way they treat Christians. We need to be strong in our faith. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with power. And we need to put on the armor that the Lord has given us to be able to withstand these darts and these schemes of the evil one. Amen? Are you with me on that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this faith that we need to be strong in, God uses trials. He uses temptation. He uses adversity to strengthen our faith if we allow Him to. James tells us that rejoice, brethren, when you encounter these various trials, because it's going to produce strength in your faith. Instead of cowering and trying to protect yourself from encountering these trials, and sometimes they're painful, we need to face them head on in the power of Christ. The same power that Jesus gave to His disciples, He's giving to us. And we are even filled with His very presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. So I would say that we even have the conviction and the knowledge that the disciples didn't have, because we know that Christ has risen from the dead. We know that Christ returned. We know that He sent His Holy Spirit to fill us. We have the confidence and the assurance to knowing that God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is truly God Almighty who we follow. So be encouraged, church. Be encouraged when you face these various trials. Now, the question this morning for you is, when Jesus responded to the disciples, if you just have faith as a mustard seed, you'll be able to speak to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will. And nothing will be impossible for you. Faith is a mustard seed. As we saw in the video, a mustard seed is minute, the smallest of all seeds. And I don't think that Jesus is referring to us to have small faith. But I think Jesus is referring to the faith that we have is going to grow into a mighty, powerful force for us. Just like that minute, small mustard seed grows into a large plant, into a tree that even birds can nest in. In the natural, we can see a very small seed grow into a mighty big plant. And so it is with our faith. If we allow God to strengthen us every day in our faith will grow as we follow Christ day after day into a mighty force to overcome any obstacle that comes our way. So when Jesus is saying, speak to that mountain, and that mountain must move, speak to it in faith, believing that it's going to be. And the power of God will be enacted, will move in your life. And that situation will change in the name of Jesus. He promises it. Oftentimes we encounter trials in our life, even as Christians, and we feel that it's never going to change. But that is the lie of the enemy. Think back in your life. I've been following the Lord for 35 years. And looking back, I found myself in situations that they were mountains that I never thought would move. And miraculously, I find myself after all these years looking back, thinking how big those mountains were. And really, I don't even remember being at the foot of those mountains anymore, because God has been faithful to me all these years. And looking back, those hard times really were when I grew the most in my faith, in my relationship with Jesus. Unfortunately, many Christians, when they get saved, think that once they give their life to the Lord, everything's going to be peaches and cream. Everything's going to be wonderful. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works. And God intended it that way. Paul tells us in the scripture, he compares following Christ in faith as a marathon runner. If you want to run a marathon, you better train. You better work out. You better strengthen your muscles. Or you're going to start running, and after the second mile, you're going to die and fizzle out and not make it. But if you want to win and finish that marathon, it's going to take you weeks, probably months, to train, to get strong enough, to have enough endurance to make it to the end and win that prize. God intended it that way. He wants our faith to grow. He brings trials into our life to strengthen us, to build our courage, but mainly to build our faith in Him. Because the mountain-moving faith that He's talking about is really the mountain-moving faith in Him who is the mountain-moving God. And doubt is the lie of the enemy, the scheme of the enemy, the flaming dart of the enemy to get you to think, that mountain's never going to move. I'm a realist. It's never going to change. I'm just going to endure this mountain for the rest of my life because it's never going to change. That is a lie of the enemy. And from personal experience, I can attest to that fact. Life isn't all great, but we are never guaranteed life to be great. We are guaranteed life to be abundant. We are guaranteed the power to overcome temptation, to endure suffering. Amen? Jesus is our example. But the reward is coming. Jesus is victorious. Don't lose heart, church. Be encouraged that these sufferings that we're experiencing are only temporary. And we can find joy in the midst of suffering as Christ is our example. Amen? Now, getting back to our text, the disciples, they didn't understand why they couldn't cast out this demon. And Jesus rebuked them, told them it was because of the littleness of their faith. Doubt and unbelief cannot coexist in the same space as faith. It's impossible. Doubt and unbelief cannot exist in the same space as faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of those things we haven't seen yet. We believe that it's going to happen. We know that God's word is true, and He will do what He said He's going to do. But if we doubt it, it steals our faith to believe that. And that is exactly what the enemy of our souls wants to do. He wants to implant doubt in your heart so you don't have the faith to overcome not only sin and temptation, but not to have the power to tell that mountain, move from here, and it will move. But if you doubt, it won't. That's what Jesus is telling us. Who did Jesus reward in this story? He rebuked His disciples who just chapters earlier gave Him the power to perform these miracles. Because they doubted, He rebuked them for their unbelief. But the father of the child came to Jesus, brokenhearted, fell to his knees, cried to Jesus, "Please heal my son. I brought them to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." And after rebuking the disciples, Jesus turned to the Father and to the Son, cast out the demon from the boy, and the boy was healed instantly. That same power that Jesus has, we have. He gave it to us through His Holy Spirit. But doubt and unbelief will keep you from experiencing that. First, 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, walking by faith is contrary to what the world will teach you, contrary to what non-believers are going to try to impress upon you. Walking by faith is a totally foreign concept to the world around us. But we believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We believe by faith that he rose from the dead. There is archaeological truth, facts, to prove that Jesus lived, the miracles that he performed did happen, and that his body was never found through natural men. But then Jesus came back and appeared to his followers to prove to them that, yes, I am alive evermore. We walk by faith and not by sight. We must not look at our circumstances through the natural eyes, but we must look at our circumstances through the eyes of faith. And that's what the disciples missed. But reading the scripture and studying, to their defense, you know, Christ hadn't suffered and died yet. However, as you read a little bit further on, he explained to them that he was going to. And they were dismayed. They didn't understand the full concept of why Jesus had to come and suffer and die. But he said then he would rise again. So many of us, even now, even though we know the truth, we believe it by faith, we are still doubters. And this morning I want to encourage you to surrender that doubt to the Lord. He wants you to surrender that doubt and allow faith to inhabit that space where doubt has taken up residence. Even Thomas, after Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas even said, I cannot believe this is happening. He wouldn't believe until Jesus said, here, touch my side. Touch my hand. It wasn't until Thomas physically touched him he truly believed. And God has sent us his Holy Spirit to fill us with his presence so that you can touch and tangibly feel the power of God Almighty in your life. Our faith in a mountain-moving God will transform your life, will transform the way you look at what is going on, not only in your life, but in others' life. I know it's heartbreaking to see a loved one or other people suffering in their pain. But just as this father brought his son, who is terribly ill, who was demon-possessed, first to the disciples to be healed, and they couldn't heal him. Then he brought them to the healer of all healers, Jesus himself. And Jesus cast out the demon. The boy was healed instantly. What I took from that part of the scripture was God wants us to have a heart for those around us and to care enough to bring those people before the throne of God and to pray for them for their healing, to pray for them for their spiritual healing as well as their physical healing, and believe that it's going to happen. God has a purpose in all things. He has a purpose in every situation that we experience. And that mountain-moving faith is the faith in the mountain-moving God, the power of God Almighty. Now, the other thing that the disciples probably were experiencing with their doubt and unbelief was fear. They were filled with the power that Jesus gave them to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of heaven, and to cast out demons. But because of the persecution that they were receiving, the world coming against them for what they were preaching and doing, they were probably fearing for their lives as well, because they were being threatened not only with death, but with torture and imprisonment. But us as believers, we have been given a spirit of not fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind to take the Word of God, to read it, to understand it, and to take it into our heart to build our faith so we will not doubt. That's why it is so important to be in the Word daily, to study His Word daily, to strengthen your soul, to strengthen your faith. Just as a pure glass of drinking water, if you put just a little bit of dirt in it, it spoils the whole water. So it is with doubt and fear. Just a little bit of fear and just a little bit of doubt, then you start questioning. Is that mountain really going to move? Can I really do this work that God's called me to do? There is no room for faith and doubt to inhabit the same space as faith. They are exact opposites. As God has called us to follow Him, we must remember He is God and we're not. The power wasn't in the disciples to heal and to cast out the demons. The power was in their faith and their obedience to God. And God is the one that performs the miracles. So it is in our life. We are not the ones that receive the glory, but we are just followers, disciples of the living God. He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to command that mountain to move. But it is Him, it is the power from Him that moves the mountain. Amen? We are not the ones to receive the glory. All glory and honor go to the Lord Jesus Christ. So our mountain-moving faith is really our faith rooted in a mountain-moving God. Amen? Amen? All things are possible through them that believe. God causes all things to work together for the good, Romans 8:28. Be encouraged, church. And then Jesus concludes this segment of Scripture by saying, but these only go out by prayer and fasting. These only go out by prayer and fasting. Why would He conclude after casting out this demon and healing this boy, why would He tell His disciples, these only go out but by prayer and fasting? To encourage our faith, to build up that strength, we need to spend time with God Himself. We need to step away from the world, step out of our usual routine, step out of our comfort zone. When Jesus Himself, as our example, started His ministry, after being baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit fell on Him and a voice from heaven said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What did Jesus Himself do? He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days. Because He knew that by stepping away and just surrounding Himself completely with His Heavenly Father, talking to Him, praying to Him, denying Himself, His bodily self, the comforts of this world, and spending that time and that energy with God to hear His voice, to hear His leading, to understand what His calling on His life was. Then your faith is strengthened. You have the conviction in your heart knowing God is calling me to do this. I heard God's voice. God's leading me through His Holy Spirit. He spoke to me through His Word that I am called to preach. I am called to lead a Bible study. I am called to work in my job and be an effective witness for Christ amongst all these unbelievers. By prayer and fasting, I believe Jesus is saying, there, you will gain the strength. You will gain the faith needed to command this mountain to move, and it will move. Your faith will be strengthened, knowing that you have heard from the Lord Himself. It's so easy to live our lives in our comfort zone. Every day is a routine. We enjoy our coffee, we enjoy our danishes, we enjoy our lunch, we enjoy our dinner, we enjoy this, we enjoy that. And while we're enjoying our life, where's God fitting in all that? God is yearning to spend time with you. God is yearning to call you. He is yearning, He is desiring for you to stop and listen. What are you saying to me, Father? So many of us, year after year, go to church, live our Christian life, rarely pray, rarely read the Word, but yet we think we're walking a Christian life. But God wants to take us so much deeper, so much farther in a relationship with Him. And the further you go with God, the stronger your faith becomes. The more power you receive to overcome temptation and sin. The more power you receive to speak to those mountains in your life, and they will move. Just like an army trains for battle, Paul tells us in the Scripture, we must train for battle, for we are in a spiritual battle, church. We're not called to the comfort zone. We're called to the battlefront. We're called to serve the living God, to proclaim His Word to a lost and dying world. And just as an army doesn't go into a battle expecting to lose, an army enters a battle expecting to win. And the only way to win a battle is to be prepared, to have a battle plan, to have the proper armor and armament to be victorious over the enemy. So it is with us as Christians, church. God has given us the armor of God. He has given us His Word. He has given us the power of His salvation. And most importantly, He has given us His very Spirit that lives within us to give us the power and the strength to overcome the enemy and to be victorious. These disciples, in this certain instance, were not victorious. They could not cast this demon out of this young man. But Jesus is telling you and each one of us, if you have the right amount of faith, believe and do not doubt, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Amen? Jesus is saying that, not me. Not a denomination, but Jesus Christ our Lord is saying that. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. I just felt the Lord impress this message on me to come before you, church, this morning to encourage you. No matter where you are in your walk with God, today is a new day. Today is the day to say, I am not going to live in mediocrity anymore. I am not going to surrender to this mountain and just accept this mountain in my life. And I'm not just preaching prosperity. I'm preaching God's Word and what Jesus is telling us. God is Almighty God who lives in each one of us if we have received forgiveness through the cross of Christ. Jesus is alive. And He wants to work in each one of us for His glory, for His purpose, to further His kingdom. He wants to bless you with eternal life and the abundant life. There's a little word study you can do in your own Bible study time Zoe, Z-O-E. It's a Greek word. And it means God's life. God wants to give you His life. We're created in His image. We're created for a purpose, for His pleasure. And with that Zoe life, it's like being married to God. He created you with your likes and what you know you like to do, what you don't like to do, your passions. And it's like marrying your life with His. He wants to fill you with abundant joy. He wants to fill you with love. He wants to fill you with encouragement and power. He wants you to say to those mountains in your life, "Move, mountain, get out of my way." And Jesus says, it's possible if you just believe. Amen? Hallelujah. If you don't let those mountains, if you don't command those mountains to move, you're never going to know what's on the other side. It's not that hard to understand when you stop and think about it. A natural mountain that is in your way prevents you from seeing what's on the other side. Not only does it prevent you from seeing what's on the other side, you can't hear what's on the other side. God has Zoe life for you on the other side of that mountain. But if you live your life in surrender and doubt and unbelief and fear and just accept the fact that I'm never going to be victorious over this, you're going to miss what God has for you on the other side. I truly believe that it wasn't just, you know, a wording phrase that Jesus used. I believe Jesus chose to use that phrasing for a purpose. That mountain needs to be moved out of your life so you can experience the full Zoe life of God that He has for you. So this morning, I just encourage you. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to just say, God, I have been mediocre. I have accepted this in my life, and I just don't think I can change. Take the time, make the effort to pray and fast. Make the effort to spend that time with the Lord and allow Him to fill you with His knowledge, to give you the strength and the courage to overcome, to get past that mountain. As I was studying and thinking about this message, I was thinking of calling it "Be a Mountain Climber." But that doesn't give God the glory as moving that mountain of faith. Get that thing out of the way. Don't go over it. Cast that thing out of your life by faith, is what Jesus is saying. Speak it in faith, with believing, without doubting, and watch what God will do in your life. Amen? We follow God Almighty. In Him, nothing is impossible. And Jesus tells us, with us who believe through faith, nothing is impossible. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants us to be desperate for Him. God wants us to love Him more than we love ourselves. Now, when we think of fasting, we think of a ritualistic, religious structure thing that is painful, is a burden, is something we really don't want to do, but okay, I'll fast lunch today. But instead of looking at it as that way, look at it as, God, I love You. And I know sitting in front of the TV eating this ice cream is comfort for me, and I'm really not spending time with You. Or I enjoy drinking wine. I enjoy this. It makes me comfortable. What if you would say, God, I'm not going to have that ice cream for a week. And that time, instead of eating ice cream and watching TV, I'm going to spend it with You, God. God isn't looking for the actual sacrificial fast. He's looking for you to put aside the things that make you comfortable and take that time and spend it with Him. And you'll be amazed at what God will speak to you through it. It's a deeper walk. It's a deeper relationship. It's like your spouse if you're married, or your children, sacrificially being willing to do what they want to do, even though you really don't want to do it. But when you are willing to do that, your relationship with your spouse or your child or whoever grows because they feel the love that you're putting them first. So it is with God our Father. So it is. You're putting God first in your life. Amen? Look at fasting as not as a burden thing, but look at it as a joyous thing, a relation-building experience. And you never know. You might lose a few pounds. That's just a bonus. Just saying. But that's not the point. The point is, fall in love with our Heavenly Father again. Fall in love with Jesus again. Experience His Zoe life. Married together with you. Love, joy, peace is what God wants to give you. And when you're filled with joy and you're filled with peace, watch your faith grow. Watch that experience of power and faith grow in your life. I believe that's what God is speaking to us and being a mountain mover. Having mountain moving faith in our mountain moving God. Amen? God bless you. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we love you this morning. And I just pray, Lord God, for each one of us here, Lord God, no matter what mountains that are in our life, I just pray for the power to believe by faith that we can move those mountains. We can speak to these mountains in our life. Move from here to there. Get out of my way. I want to hear God. I want to be with God. I want to see what He has for me. Lord God, You are the mountain-moving God. You are God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Nothing is impossible for You. And as I pray for each one here this morning, Lord God, I pray for a desperation to fill our hearts, that we would be desperate for You, Lord, that we would long for You, Lord God, and that we would experience the Zoe life. That we would be married to You, Lord God, filled with Your abundance and Your joy and Your love. That we would experience mountain-moving faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. As the band comes forward, we're going to close with one more song. I hope that this message will resonate in your heart. As we sing this song, let us be desperate for God. Let us be desperate for Him. Let Him be the air that we breathe. His very presence living in us. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we close.
We believe that the Holy Spirit is active and working in our lives here. And I think there was another message in what God was bringing this morning. And that's found in that first paragraph, where you have three groups of people. You have a father who has a troubled son, who is deeply pained by the spirit within him, who's causing him to fall into the fire, into the water, harm himself, and a father who loves him dearly. You have the disciples, who are acting as the representative of Jesus, the holy authorities, if you will, and you have Jesus. The message I think God has for someone here, I don't know who, is if the disciples in your life, somewhere before, whether it was a pastor, it was an elder, it was a Sunday school teacher, someone tried to do something for you and they failed. In this example, it happened. The disciples failed. But what the man who loved his son did is he didn't let that get in his way of true belief. He went and he continued to persist and he found Jesus. And Jesus healed his son. So don't let disappointment in a church leader, someone you thought, well, they're a holy person, someone who you respected as being godly, if they disappointed you, if they let you down, if they failed you, don't let that be a barrier to your faith in Jesus and Jesus' power to bring about that change, to move that mountain. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray for the mistakes that we as humans make. We fail each other. But thanks be to God, you deliver us. When we can muster the faith, even that of just a mustard seed. For you tell us in your scripture in Hebrews 11 that without faith it is impossible to please God. But when we have that faith, and we have that faith properly placed on your Son Jesus, who is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King, then we can move the mountains in our lives. So I pray for that healing, that restoration, that deepening of a relationship that you call each and every one of us to your side. And I pray it all in the precious name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great week.
Amen.
Amen.